This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Joe Montana, Hall of Fame quarterback with us and you here on Sports Byline. Joe, the last time we chatted, we talked a little bit about your sons that are playing football as well. I always feel kind of sorry for kids that have to follow in the footsteps of their famous parents. I think of Yogi Berra's son, Dale Berra, Mickey Mantle's son as well. What thought process did you give to your sons playing football with the name Montana?
Well, for the first year or two, they actually played with, if they had to have a name, they had Jennifer's maiden name on the back of their jersey. But then after a while, we stopped that just because they knew that everybody knew who they were. And it's tough on them. I mean, unfortunately, it's a little bit unfair for them, people to have expectations of them. Because the one thing, and they're probably behind because of the approach that Jen and I took, and whether it was right or wrong, don't know. But we didn't push them in the sports. We let them go ahead and decide when they wanted to play and where they wanted to play, if they wanted to play football, and, what time, how old they were when they started. And so we didn't push them. And if they didn't want to throw a football around, I didn't force them to throw it around. And in cases that, they may be a little bit behind with other kids of their age because I didn't do that enough. Maybe I should have pushed a little bit, just as fun and not really as trying to teach them something.
Is there a danger in picking up a sport a little bit late because you know about the development process of playing something like football? You have to kind of grow with it. And if your son comes to you and says, hey, I would like Dad to play football, and you think, uh-oh, he's going to have to catch up real quick here.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what happened with our oldest. He decided 2 weeks before the season started he wanted to play. And then I was like, oh, my gosh. I said, that's great. And he said, well, I want to play quarterback too and wide receiver. So I said, well, God, you could have given me a little more than 2 weeks notice. I could help you. So it's been a learning process for him the tough way. And I try to help without really pushing myself on him. It's funny. I mean, even got to the point where you had to hire a quarterback coach, to work with both the boys because – they see you, as I said, they see you as Dad. And so when I'm talking to them, I'm talking to them as a father, they think, more than as an athlete. And at some point, they'll start getting the understanding. And now that my oldest son's really comes, hey, I'm having a problem with this. How do I correct it? Which is nice. He is still a little bit behind.
It's a hard thing because, as you know, all of us have had coaches who were not our parents who could really get into our face and get our attention.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with your kid.
No, huh?
Because they'll either battle you back or they'll go sulk someplace.
Yeah.
You don't know. And you bring it home and you don't know what to do.
Yeah. And you can't, if their attitude gets bad, it's really difficult to correct them. And because, again, they see it, the relationship differently. So I can't, like you said, I can't really jump on their case. And so I have to try to find another way around it. And until it happens so many times, then I get a little upset here and there. But if they didn't want to, I've already told them, I said, look, if you guys just want to play and have fun, tell me. And I'll go watch you and have fun and enjoy the 2 minutes you get in at the end of the game or whenever you get a chance to play. And I said, if you're playing and you just are happy with what you're doing, that's fine. But if you tell me you want to get better, then I'm not going to dwell on the things you're doing very well because, you already know that. I'm going to try to do the things that I think will help you and tell you about things. And you may not like them, but that's the only way you can get better. And so right now one's in the mode that he's just playing for fun and the other's in the mode where he wants to get a little bit better.
What kind of athletes are they?
They're actually pretty good athletes. I mean, they have, Nathaniel really is a little bit behind on the quarterbacking side. You can tell by the kids who played in front of him, but really he does things when he just doesn't try to think about, he's a thinker. So he'll try to think his way through the throwing motion. And boy, you get him in a game and you make him get out of the pocket when he's not thinking about things. And he throws balls that I'll sit there and I go, how do you don't throw? Oh no, how do you get it in there? you go through that, and he has that ability, but he wants to do everything you know, emotionally correct, and but he has the ability. And the other one's just, he just goes for it no matter what. But Scooter on the other side, basketball, he was taken completely serious and has got, he's made tremendous strides in the last couple of years, because all of a sudden it clicked into him, he didn't like where he was. And from that point on, he's gaining in leaps and bounds. And we're going to take him back to the North Carolina's basketball camp here. Coming up here in another month, I think it is, and going to Peyton Manning's throwing camp. So
it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they got a fun weekend.
Anything that your parents did with you when you were playing sports that you've been able to now pass on to your kids, or being able to use in the interaction with your kids?
Well, my dad was always there. And unfortunately, I've been on the road a lot, and I'm trying to slow down so I can be there a lot more to try to help them through some of those things. But back there, sports was everything. There's so many things, you know, to distract you in California, that if he's not happy there, they just move on to something else. And, you know, back then, man, we'd be playing in Western Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden in one tournament, and then, okay, that we'd have a Saturday off, and we drove all the way to Niagara Falls to play in a one-day tournament up there, drove back that night to play in the finals in the other tournament back in Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. So we were always, you know, really, sports was the center of a lot of things. That's not the way it is out here.
Yeah, they talk about basketball in Indiana, football certainly down in Texas, but in that kind of triangle area of Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, mm-hmm. I know going in and having seen some high school games in Moundsville, West Virginia, Warren, Ohio, yeah. You know, Monongahela, Pennsylvania. I mean, football up there is a different way up there.
It is. It's a way of life, and it's a way that people see of getting out of the where they live. Or, you know, it's not that it's a bad area to live, but there's a lot of things out there in the world for people to see and other things to experience. And a lot of people, just not just there, but around the country in smaller towns, if you don't get out of the smaller town to see what else is there, you'll stay there for the rest of your life. And I think our parents saw that sports was a way, because we didn't have enough money to send me to Notre Dame. I know that. And they saw sports as a way for me to get an education and to get outside of the life that they were in at the time.
Joe Namath said to me once, I said, how in the heck did you ever end up a kid from Pennsylvania in Alabama? And he said, it was real easy. He said, my dad took me to the steel mill one day. And he said, I knew that was not what I wanted.
Yeah.
And he said, that's how I ended up down there. Because I wondered how a kid came out of Pennsylvania all the way to Alabama. That's a different world down there.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And they see that. And I think they did it on purpose, you know, to let you see what the steel mills were like, what the coal mines are like, and, you know, what else was out there. I mean, I didn't travel. I couldn't travel. We couldn't afford to travel. So it was an eye-opening experience being able to go to Notre Dame. I was overwhelmed when I got there. So,
Have you ever thought about what your life might have been like if football had not played the important part that it's played?
Yeah, I try to think about that, but I try not to think too long about it. I really don't know where I would have ended up, to be honest. But I probably would have played basketball somewhere.
Because you had a scholarship to North Carolina State?
Yeah. And until Notre Dame offered me a scholarship, I really was unsure what I was going to do. And then when I got the offer, in fact, my dad, when I told him I'd made up my mind, he goes, I know what you're going to do. And I go, how do you know? He goes, well, I just know. I said, well, then what am I going to do? He says, you're going to take the easy way out and play basketball. And I said, that's when I told him, no, I was going to Notre Dame. So,
did you do that for spite?
No, I was kind of in awe of the place. And they were on, back then they were on TV Saturday, and then they had the reruns on Sunday mornings. And there were a lot of people from Western Pennsylvania who were already there and having success. So it was a place I had a dream of going.
We only have about a minute, a little over a minute to go before we break, But that moment at Canton, Ohio, with all those people that were from Pennsylvania, and at the party afterwards, I sat with some of them and talked about you as what you were like when you were growing up. It meant so much to them. Did you have that feeling that you were giving something back to the community after what they'd given to you and everything?
Well, I think that, you know, they shared in the success that I had, and it's fun to watch and see, because the area is a proud area.
Yeah.
You know, very proud.
Blue collar.
Yeah. So it's fun to be able to be a part of that heritage coming out of there and be a part of the success story from that area.
Were you nervous when you were giving your acceptance speech?
Yes. I
felt that you were as I watched
it. It was really hard. I mean, it was probably one of the toughest. Other than the first time I went back to my high school or my Monongahela to speak in front of everyone that I knew, that was the most difficult speech ever. But Hall of Fame came pretty close in the fitting into that category because it just I'm not very good at accepting speeches like that. And then of this one being the granddaddy of them all, you know. And everybody, again, right where you can see them, everyone's sitting there that you know, and try to focus over their heads. But I really didn't even know what I was going to say till the night before.
Joe Montana has joined us. We're talking about his fine 15-year career in the National Football League, 13 of those with the 49ers, 2 with the Kansas City Chiefs. And we'll also talk about something that's very special to him and close to his interest as well. We do that as we continue on Sports Byline.